When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and a good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Jason Mackey's First 10. This is Monday, May 6th. Busy sports weekend around here, like always, and some Penguins news I'd like to get to. But first, I want to remind you that we are sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there, but the interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, steak and seafood in a sizzling lava stone. Not in a sizzling lava stone, on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. So I wanted to rewind back a couple days and talk a little bit about the Penguins, because we didn't have a chance to do this when this news came out on Friday. Todd Reirden being relieved of his duties. And I do not think that the ineptitude of the power play was Todd Reirden's fault by any stretch of the imagination. I'm also glad that they at least did something. I like Todd Reirden a lot. I think he's probably a very good coach, assistant coach, whatever you want to call it, but that unit wasn't performing. Now, that being said, was it all on Todd? Of course not. He's being scapegoated because the guys on the power play were not performing up to expectations or nowhere close enough. 12 shorthanded goals, that'll do it. What, 15 and some change percent conversion rate? Just it's not going to work. I really hope that Mike Sullivan gets some outside ideas, some outside counsel. We know that he is by and large in charge of the power play, but they could certainly use an outside perspective there, and I hope they get it. There's some other stuff to talk about with the Penguins, though. One, who they get to oversee that position, but two, the opening that they have in the American Hockey League. I'm intrigued by Sheldon Keefe, the Maple Leafs coach. No, he hasn't been fired yet, but there's a lot of talk coming out of Toronto that they could. And if he becomes available, it's a very interesting name given his ties to Kyle Dubas. Now, Mike Sullivan's the third part of this conversation we're going to get to, but I do feel like the Penguins kind of need to have some sort of plan in place. You're not going to just fire Mike Sullivan. Not that I'm advocating that, but you're not going to do that without having some sort of idea on what the succession plan is. Sheldon Keefe would, given the relationship with Dubas, make a decent amount of sense. Now, that being said, Mike Sullivan has several years left on his contract. Everything that we hear is that FSG really, really likes Mike Sullivan. And at this point in the season, really have a tough time believing they would do something. So what do? Do you trade him to New Jersey? I wanted to make a point on all of that fuss about him maybe going there, just based on my relationship with Sullivan, knowing him, covering him for a number of years, was at his house. Like, I don't see him as somebody who's wanting to run away from a challenge, which obviously the Penguins are right now. I also see him as somebody who is somewhat stubborn, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, in 2016, 2017, that paid off. In other times, it has not. He's been somewhat resistant to playing younger players. We've seen that, and that's cost him. He's been, I'd say, maybe a little overcommitted to some goalies post the 15, 16, 17 run, and that has cost him. We heard that he wanted to defend his assistant coaches and keep guys like Todd Reirden around. That doesn't surprise me. At the end of the day, Kyle Dubas is in charge, and he's going to determine who he wants on that staff, even if Mike says, you can't get rid of him. From Kyle said, yes, I can, as a matter of fact. So anyway, the stuff with Sullivan and him like running to New Jersey, I don't totally understand it. Now, if there's interest on the part of the Devils, there could be interest on the part of the Penguins. And it all depends on compensation and what would come back the Penguins' way. I think one thing I read had, you know, a 10th overall pick for Sullivan. I mean, if Dubas could pull that off, my goodness. Because I do think there an argument could be made for just like, look, this has run its course. The Devils have interest. Let's flip the switch. You go there. Tom Fitzgerald, good friend, GM of the Devils. It would make a lot of sense. We got into that at other times. But I do think it's a sneaky, interesting situation, especially with them pulling the plug on Reirden and really having to get somebody in there who gets through to these star players. I mean, the Penguins, as much as I would advocate doing it or wanting to do it because I don't think he's been worth the money, it's going to be really tough for them to do anything with Erik Karlsson. As such, you're not going to trade Sidney Crosby. I don't think you're going to trade Evgeny Malkin. I don't think you're going to trade Chris Letang. So, like, the horse is on your power play. You know, probably those guys, defensemen swapping out. Michael Bunting's going to be there somewhere. Probably Brian Rust is going to be there somewhere. But the horses on your power play are largely staying the same. So it'll be interesting who they bring in there for that position. Going to switch topics, bounce around a little bit. On Sunday morning, I took part in the Pittsburgh Marathon, ran the second leg of our Team Titus relay, running for the Miracle League of the South Hills with a young man named Titus Black, who is a friend of ours, a family friend. That we go to church with them. His mom, Kelly, is a pastor in our church, and it was a great time. It really was. I pushed Titus for 3.8 miles. I actually wish it would have been longer. It was my first time doing anything close to a marathon length, run. I mean, I run that long and longer regularly, but it was a lot of fun going through the neighborhoods. I had always heard about, you know, how much the like music being played and people shouting and clapping and having a great time, like how much that sort of sustains you. And even on my little measly run, that was so much fun to get to the next one. And it was also fun seeing Titus as excited as he was. And I wrote about this whole experience, so I hope you'll check out the story. I'm not sure where it's going to be played in the paper when I'm recording this, but it's certainly online. And you can read about why I did it, what the experience was like, and some of the interaction between me and Titus as well. But I'm going to wrap up or get to a little Pirates here before we're done. A lot of topics with them I wanted to hit on, but we'll start with Paul Skeens. I feel like that's the most pertinent. A lot of people pegging that May 10th start, including me. I'm guilty. It makes so much sense based on sort of what's heard around Skeens. You know, want to get to 5+ ups, 75+ pitches. He's come darn close to both of those. It was a little odd seeing what he did today. 4 and some change, 66 pitches. It was actually the first time, if you can believe it, that he pitched on a normal MLB schedule. You know, 4 days rest, go. 4 days rest, go. I don't love that it took this long to get there, but we also know that they're slow playing this. He's not up as of now. This is still something I'll be tracking throughout the week. I think it could go either way. I've gotten information that says, you know, he's not coming up, and I've gotten information that says he is, which obviously results in I'm not going to put anything out there confirmed, but I'm just presenting that, you know, you get speculation on both sides. And I don't think anybody knows, perhaps because maybe they don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to be excited. I know that. I talked to Jared Jones after this one. I said, what do you think about anchoring a rotation with Skeens? He goes, that would be electric. He was pretty excited for it. So that's going to be fun. We'll find out news in the coming days. It's really not the biggest problem for the Pirates, though. I mean, their pitching has been very good, including Bailey Falter again today. The Pirates did take a series from the Rockies. Falter gave up 2 homers, but I don't know. I can kind of live with it. I mean, shoot, if we went into the season thinking he would be their number 5, I feel like, you know, I mean, I'll pitch that in a huge way. You could call him their number 2, and he might have outpitched that. Like, that's how good he's been. So give him a chance to win. It's been very good. I wrote about David Bednar in my column today. I've been more and more impressed with him for a couple of reasons. One is just how his demeanor never, ever changes. And he would have reason to feel a little bit different or act a little bit different or, you know, require a little extra assistance in many ways. And he just has not. He hasn't pitched particularly well. At least he has the past couple of outings, I would say. Probably the last week and a half, Bednar has been a little bit different. But starting off, I mean, obviously it wasn't good. Results aren't going to work. I think it was like a 13.5 ERA, something like that. But has kept at it. We talked a little bit about the differences in what he was doing prior to what he is doing now. He uses terms a lot like, you know, filling up the zone and throwing all 3 pitches. And it turns into a river of ping pong balls at some point. But one way I can reasonably explain what he is doing now that he wasn't doing later, like his misses aren't ghastly. You know, when you're a quarterback in the NFL and you have a miss and it goes to the middle of the field, that's bad. If you're a quarterback in the NFL and you have a miss that goes in the sideline that nobody can get it, not as bad. It's kind of the same principle with Bednar. He was missing too far over the center of the plate. His misses are a little bit more productive now. You can see some progress with him. So I'm looking for him to continue. what he's doing. And, well, the Pirates need to continue what they're doing. Scoring five runs on Sunday against the Rockies was a good start. Need to sustain that offense. The Angels come into town. Cole Tucker, by the way, old friend Cole Tucker, be catching up with him on Monday. The Angels are having a tough time as well, as were the Rockies. I know I wrote that last week, that this series or this homestand is going to tell us a lot about where the Pirates are at. They've got some decent guys on the mound going in the series. Any spot in their rotation has been largely productive, but the bullpen has been starting to round into form. They just need to be able to get the offense to repeat a little bit. We'll see if they're able to do that. In the meantime, make sure to like and subscribe. You can get all the content from me and other Post-Gazette writers. Be back here same time and same place tomorrow.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.